In Luke chapter 21, there's something here that as I was reading this week, and reading down through this 21st chapter of the book of Luke, something just jumped off this page, just literally jumped off the page. And I want to share the truth of it. I don't know how long it'll take to get the essence of it shared. Let me ask you this before we begin to share. We're trying to find out how to use these lights in here. Is this too dark for you? Is it all right? Can you follow along in the scripture okay? All right, we don't want to be too dark, but if it is, what? You let one of the ushers or let me know after the service or something. We'll figure out how to get the lights just right. Luke chapter 21, and if you found that opening, let's just join together, please, in a moment of prayer, and we believe God to give us the truth out of this passage. Father, we thank you that your word is alive, that it's eternal and it's sure. We thank you, Father, that the life and the spirit that's in it will be ministered to us today as we hear it read, as we study it, as it's expounded. I thank you, Father, that your anointing is in me, that you have anointed me as a preacher of the gospel, that I am an able minister of the word of God because your Holy Spirit dwells in me. I thank you, Father, that this, your church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, needs no man to teach them, because the Spirit or the anointing which is in them, he shall teach them, and in him is no error, but is truth only. And I thank you, Father, that as we share this word together today, that your Holy Spirit that caused it to be put down in the book in the first place will also cause it to be ministered to the hearts, even to the hearts of those that may not believe. Because your word is life, your word is spirit. And as we know that, Father, we approach your word with that assurance and that confidence. We thank you for that promise. In Jesus' name, amen. It's interesting to me today that the songs that James chose for us to sing, the anthem that the choir ministered, the message that came forth earlier in the service, I don't recall whether it was, it was not the word of prophecy, I believe it was the interpretation of tongues when it came. All center our focus this morning on the fact that the Lord Jesus could come any day. All these things which have happened in the service so far this morning would indicate to us that God's concerned that we would be aware today that his coming is imminent. And in this 21st chapter of the book of Luke, Jesus talks about his second coming. He discusses with his disciples before the crucifixion the fact that he would come again. And he tells us something about his second coming. Let's begin to read, please, in the 25th verse. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. We see those things already, don't we? Men's hearts failing them for fear and looking after those things which are coming upon the earth. The things that are developing in the earth in these days are causing the people of this world to their hearts to fail them for fear. The newspaper headlines are full of it. The television broadcasts are full of it. When we were on vacation here this past week at the beach, there happened to be a television set in the cottage there, and they had one of these cable affairs with a newscast broadcast. The news was broadcasting all the time, and Lois noticed it as I did as well. That one particular moment we were looking at it. Hurricane Frederick claims lives and property damage along the Gulf Coast. Volcano erupts in Sicily and kills so many people. Has not erupted there since 1800s and something. And where was the earthquake? Some place was an earthquake. I don't even remember that. But the thing that struck me was bang, bang, bang. Distress Distress, distress. The very signs that Jesus said would precede his coming, there they were, boom, 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 right there on the television set. Men's hearts failing them for fear and looking after the things that are coming upon the earth. I want you to know today that if you have no hope beyond that which is on this earth, you are above all things without any hope. You are above all most miserable if you have no hope other than that which is going on in the earth today. Because what's going on in the earth today is not very pleasant. And the Word of God says that it's not going to get any better. And if you are putting your trust, you see, in the fact that our world will get better, if you're putting your trust in the fact that life will get better, if you're putting your trust in the fact that men will solve some of these great problems that are troubling civilization today, if you're putting your confidence in those things, then you are also establishing for yourself a life filled with fear. Because that's the result of placing your confidence in the things of this earth. Men's hearts will fail them for fear. When you go to your job tomorrow morning, what do you suppose people are going to be talking about? They'll be talking about the price of meat. They'll be talking about the price of gasoline. They'll be talking about what's going on in this part of the world and what's going on in that part of the world. They'll be talking about whether Kennedy is going to make it or Carter or who's going to come in, you see, on the other side. Jesus said, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth. Verse number 27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. There's a day coming when Jesus of Nazareth is going to come into the clouds in power and great glory. Now millions and millions and millions across the face of this earth today and also in that day, there may even be some in this auditorium this morning that say, oh, who believes that? Who believes that this man Jesus is going to come into the clouds? For goodness, yes, I believe he lived. Sure, I believe he was a good man. Yes, I believe he was a good teacher. Yes, he did do those things that the Bible says. But come again in the clouds? Are you kidding? This is the 20th century, friend. This is 1979. You don't believe that bunk, do you? And I want to suggest to you, friend, keep your eyes up. Because this is where he's coming, in the clouds. He's coming whether you believe it or not. And I've used this example time and time again. You can say all day long that you don't believe in Buffalo, New York, but that will not make Buffalo, New York disappear. You see, it's there whether you believe it's there or not. You might say, well, I've never been to Buffalo, New York. I don't believe there really is one. I've never known anybody from Buffalo, New York. How do I know that there really is a Buffalo, New York? There really is whether you believe it or not. Doesn't matter whether you've seen it. Doesn't matter whether nobody in your family believes in Buffalo, New York, see, but Buffalo's there. And so is Jesus of Nazareth. So is he at the right hand of God the Father. So is he the King of heaven and earth. Whether you think he is or not, he is. And multiple millions and millions of people upon the earth are going to see him coming in clouds of power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. He says, children, it ought not to surprise you when I come again. For when you see the signs in the earth that I have told you about, when you see these things coming to pass, he said, you ought to know that the time of the end is close. And it ought not to come as a surprise, in the same way that the bush gives forth bud and leaf, and you know that summer is not very, very far away. He said, in the same manner, children, you should also know that my coming is not far when you begin to see the signs. Now, at another time, I'd like for us to talk more specifically about what some of these signs are. But for today, I only want to make the point that his coming is imminent and what should be our attitude concerning it. Verse number 32, he said this, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. In other words, the generation that sees these signs, The generation that sees the fig tree bud and start to bloom shall not pass away until the Lord Jesus come. I believe, friends, that we are in that generation. I believe that in our generation, Jesus is going to come. Now, if he does not come, that's not going to blow me out of the water. I'm telling you what I believe. I believe that if I live a natural life, a natural length of days, that I will see the Lord Jesus come in my lifetime. I'm 40 years old. I believe that I'm going to see him before I die. Now, I say, hey, preacher, don't you be setting dates now. No, I'm not setting dates. What I am saying is I see the fig tree budding. I see the blooms and the leaves coming. I am not going to be surprised when my Savior comes in the clouds. When he comes, brother, I'm going to be looking for him. It's not going to shock me. It may shock the rest of the world, but it will not shock me. It ought not to shock you either. Now listen to this. Verse number 33. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Jesus said this. If you put your trust in the things of the earth, if you put your confidence in the ways of man, he said, brethren and sisters, all those things are passing away. He said, you're putting your confidence in cotton candy. At the end of the day, you have nothing left. It will not last. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. But he said, my words, what I spoke, they will never pass away. In other words, I said, I'm coming again. I said that these are the conditions that the world will find itself in when I come. And he said, I said that my words will come to pass. Now, what he's saying to us here is that whatever else may happen to the world round about, Jesus Christ is going to come again. He will come in power and glory. He will come and establish his kingdom on the earth, as his word says. Now, verse 34, and listen carefully. This is where you and I come in. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting or drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that that day come upon you unawares. I marvel at those within the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, those that call themselves Christians, who have no conception at all of the coming of the Lord, who are not even aware that he's coming. They're not talking about he's coming. Do you know why? Because they don't care whether he does. I want you to know the most wonderful thing that could happen to me right now is while I'm standing here behind this pulpit, not that I would get a great anointing and preach the word, but that Jesus of Nazareth would come. Now, it wouldn't be good for some people I know because they're not born again yet. And if he were to come today while I'm standing at this pulpit, I'm going, but that's okay for me, but it's not all right for them. See? And for that reason, I don't want him to come today. I have some people that I love deeply that are not ready to go. Therefore, I don't want him to come today. I don't pray Jesus come today because I'm concerned about some people that I love deeply. Yet if he does come, it won't surprise me because I'm ready for him to come. I'm watching for him to come. He says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. Now, you know what drunkenness is, and surfeiting is overindulgence and gluttony and just gorging yourselves on all kinds of selfish kinds of things. But this is the little phrase that jumped out of the book at me. And the cares of this life. And the cares of this life. Jesus says this to you and me. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with the cares of this life, and the day come upon you unawares. Jesus said, my day can come and catch you by surprise. How can it? If you're not waiting for me, if you're not watching for me, if you're not living for me, if you're so wrapped up in the cares of this world that you're not concerned about my coming, that you're not eagerly awaiting my coming. How many of you were married and had to be dragged to the church? Hmm? You grooms were there 2 hours early in the pastor's study, primping and getting all ready. You brides, days and days and days before the wedding ceremony, checking out the dresses, you see, getting all the flowers ready, getting your daddy lined up, making sure he was going to be A-OK when the big day came. Yet here is the bride of Jesus Christ, about to have the wedding supper of the Lamb, about to meet the bridegroom, so concerned about the house that I live in, so concerned about the job that I have, so concerned about my wife and my husband and my children, my girlfriend, my boyfriend, this church, that the day comes upon unaware. In the 14th chapter of the book of Luke, Jesus told a story about a man who had a great feast. And as he made plans for this great feast, he invited many people to come. Verse number 15. Let's just read this. It's interesting. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." And then said he, that is Jesus, unto him, "A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, 'I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.'" Three men who said, "Please do not bother me about this wedding supper. Please do not bother me about the coming of the bridegroom. Please do not interfere with my way of life. Please do not make me give up my things. I am too busy to be concerned with the coming of Jesus. Yes, I love God, but I've got too many other things that are too important to me. I'm putting my attention on them." One man said, "Please have me to be excused. I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I have to go prove them." You know what it means to prove a yoke of oxen? To test them. I've got to go check them out. Now you tell me that a smart farmer would go buy 5 yoke of oxen and he didn't even know if they would plow yet. He says, "Please tell the man that I have 5 yoke of oxen." Making excuses! Another man said, "I bought a piece of land and I have to go see it." Dumb, isn't it? Dumb. I have to go see it to see if it's any good. He said, "I've already bought it." Now, will it be any different after dinner than before? No, it won't be any different after than before. He says, "I haven't seen it yet. I've bought it, but I haven't seen it." Stupid, isn't it? And the third guy says, "Well, I've married me a wife, and I've got to go see to her." And that one's dumber than the other two. Be careful, lest your heart be overcharged with the cares of this life, and the day come upon you unaware. You men, you be careful about your jobs and your businesses and your houses and your lands and your things and your plans. You be careful about those things. Heaven and earth and all that's in them is going to pass away, brothers. And the only thing that's going to be left, you see, is the Word of God. And the Word of God says He comes. Amen. Now, does that mean that God wants us sitting around on a street corner waiting for him to come? No. Paul says you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. He said, servants, those of you that are employed, he says, give a man's day's work for a day's pay. But do it as unto the Lord. Know that the Lord's coming is imminent. Know that the Lord's coming is any day. Let him arrange your house. Let him arrange your job. Let him arrange your business. Young people, don't you be so concerned with who you're going to date this Saturday night or who you're going to marry even. God knows who your wife is to be. God knows who your husband will be. God knows, you see, that one that will make you perfect and complete. You go about doing his business. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the rest of these things will be added unto you. So many times we're trying to believe God for this and believe God for this. We're so busy in there muddling up the water. We're so busy in there scurrying around and messing around with the thing. And come on, believe God with me about this, brother. Believe God with me about this, sister. See? And God can't work in it. Instead of laying it down and going over here and saying, Father, what can I do for you today? Lord, what would you have me do? And when he says, just love me, son. Just love me, son. Yesterday afternoon, as I was thinking more about this particular passage of Scripture, and the Lord reminded me of Song of Solomon. If you want to read a beautiful passage of God's Word, read Song of Solomon and see in there how Jesus feels about you. Do you know Jesus is in love with you? I'm talking about love, man. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about love. And he says to you and to me, he says, come away with me, my beloved, and let us love. Come away with me and let us love. That's what God wants. That's what he's concerned about. Be careful lest the cares of this life get you so wrapped up and so embroiled that you know not that Jesus is coming again and he's coming soon. As I was meditating on this yesterday, and he was showing me these things in Song of Solomon, bless God, he says, I just begin to weep. You know, love is a powerful, powerful emotion. Powerful emotion. Song of Solomon says that love is stronger than death. Love is stronger than death. And as I was thinking about these things, just in my spirit, I began to weep. With the love of God for his people, for the love of God for his church. And I could just feel God's love just flowing in me for you. Deep, deep love. Love like very few of us have ever experienced, let alone able to communicate. I can't communicate it to you this morning. You either have to experience it in the presence of Jesus, or you can never know it, because I can't communicate that kind of love. And what the Lord is saying, will you please not be so busy scurrying around after things, but just wait before me? Will you just stand before me? Will you just love me and let me love you? Will you seek me first and let me provide all the rest of these things? Let me take care of it. Paul knew about this. He said in the book of Colossians in the third chapter, these words, if ye then be risen with Christ, if you've been born again, he says, if you know Jesus, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Hallelujah. Set your affection, you see, on the things that are above. I can tell you from my own personal experience that if you want to make a success out of this life, seek God. Seek him. Seek him. You go seeking the success that the world gives, and you will be seeking a merry-go-round ride. Like this. Now, am I saying God doesn't want us prosperous? You know me better than that. You know me better than that. You know I have declared to you the word of God that He delights in the prosperity of those that serve Him and love Him. I'm talking about getting on the merry-go-round of whatever it is that the world thinks you ought to have. Wives, the world thinks you ought to have a certain kind of house, and you ought to have a certain kind of husband, and you ought to have a certain kind of furniture in it. You ought to have a certain number of children. They ought to be a certain sex, and they ought to look a certain way. They ought to go to a certain kind of school. They ought to have this additional education, see. You ought to have certain kinds of friends. You ought to have at least so many nights to yourself, see. Husbands, I already told you what the world says you ought to have. Young people, the world, well, I've talked to you young people too, and you know what I think about that. The Bible says set your affection on things that are above, because that's where your life is. Beloved, our life is not here. Our life is with Him. Beloved, set that thing which you desire, set your affections on Him. Love Him. Remember what it was like to be on a honeymoon? How many of you ever been on a honeymoon? Come on, that's all right. Let me see your hands. It's good, isn't it? It's good. Anybody ever throw rocks at your wife or your husband after the honeymoon? Huh? It's good. Honeymoons are good. God intends for us, beloved, to be on a perpetual honeymoon with Jesus. Perpetual honeymoon with Jesus, getting better and better and better and better and better. But I want you to know today that if you set your affection on the things of this life and become embroiled or entangled in the cares of this life, you will not have much of a honeymoon. Yes, you'll be married, but you won't really enjoy it. There are many of God's people in that fix today. They're in that fix because they are in opposition to the Word of God. He says, beware, lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, that day may come upon you and catch you unawares. If you belong to Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God which is in you will keep you aware of the coming of Jesus unless you continue to resist His ministry by being embroiled in the cares of this life. It's very important. It's very important that we guard against that. We must guard against it. I can say to you today, I wish as Paul said, there's some things, Paul made this statement. He said, he was writing to one of the churches and he said, I wish that you were as I am. There are some things in my life, I couldn't say that to you, that I wish you were as I am. But in this area, I can say to you, I wish for each and every one of you that you are as I am, absolutely in love. I mean heads over tails, flipped out over Jesus. Flipped out. I mean, I am flipped out over Him. I don't want another bridegroom. I don't ever want another one. I set my affection on Him. Hallelujah. That's why I feel so good all the time. Praise God. And I desire that for each and every one of you too. I know many of you are walking in that. God wants all of us to. Be careful about the cares of this life. The devil will use them to snag you and to keep you from God's fullness. Beware. Father, we thank you for the caution that you give us and for the warning that you sound. We thank you, Lord, that if we just turn our hearts to you and turn our affections to you, that you will see to it by the Holy Spirit that dwells within us that we have nothing to fear on the day the Lord comes. We thank you, Father, that in Jesus Christ we've been born again. We have your life in us, that you're not mad at us anymore. Oh, hallelujah. We've been reconciled to you by the blood of the Lord Jesus, by that precious, spotless, unblemished Lamb given for each and every one of us. Thank you, Father, that Jesus' coming is imminent. Thank you that you give us witness of your Spirit that it is soon. And thank you, Father, that we are and can be ready when he comes. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say to you that as James is coming this morning, if you're not ready for him to come, if you're not ready for Jesus to come, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. You need to get ready today. And the way you get ready is by receiving Jesus. You know, the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Now, if you have a knee and if you have a tongue, that means that there will come a day when you will bow before the Lord Jesus and say, Jesus, you are Lord. Now, I would much rather do that now, right now, while I had a choice to make, than later when I had to do it by obligation without a choice. Because in that day, if we do not do it in this life, we're going to do it in the next. But immediately after we bow before the Lord and say, Jesus, you are Lord, we will hear him say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, I never knew you. But if we'll bow our knee voluntarily to him in this life, then in that day, hallelujah, he says, come thou, my brother, and enter into the joy of your master. Now that appears to me to be an eminently better deal. Say, hallelujah. Say. And any man or any woman in his right mind would not let the devil have a hold of his heart and carry him into that hot pit when he could enter into the joys of the Master. But it is entirely your decision. It's entirely your decision. Nobody will ever force you, not even God, to make a decision for him. You have a free choice. If you desire to choose Jesus today, if you desire to bow before him today and confess him as Lord, would you make that desire known as we sing this last hymn? And just come forward and let me talk with you and lead you to Jesus. He's here and he wants to meet you today if you want to.